All the wash up from State of Origin and the man that knows everything about Origin, and he's been there since day dot covering it all. I think he's been there since 1980, haven't you, Andrew Webster?
G'day, boys. I don't know if I'm that old, Lord.
How are you, buddy?
You know what? I feel old today because I am hurting after Australia's loss at the World Cup last night, like a lot of people. So about 3 months ago, I thought the wise thing to do would be to back David Warner for top run scorer of the tournament. I'm just looking here. Rohit Sharma, 648 runs. David Warner, 647 runs.
Oh, no.
Beaten by two.
Devastated.
Well, just on the cricket then, Ruby, we've spoken this morning about Australia, and we've spoken about Peter Hanscom, and we've spoken about Stoinis and Maxwell being disappointing. Matthew Wade, would you have played him?
Oh, God. My head's so buried in Origin. Yeah, I probably would. I'd give him I would have played him at some stage. It was probably too late when they decided to, when he came into calculations. But, yeah, probably.
Yeah, the other bloke.
I'm just worried that David Warner didn't get more than 9 runs.
We all talk through our kick. It's the only way to have a chat. We'll get into it. Master Monkey and others all going, yeah, the big no-show is Maxwell. Mate, Origin, look, stinker of an opening 40 minutes, terrific second 40, wonderful finish, and New South Wales did a Queensland on Queensland.
They did. They Queenslanded Queensland. It was never in doubt, was it, with 20 seconds to go, with them finally scoring in the corner there, I just thought it was one of the great classic origins in the second half. I don't agree with Graham Annesley sort of going on the defensive yesterday, and I put it to the NRL directly, was there a directive at halftime to put the whistle away? And they said absolutely not. I don't believe that, to be perfectly honest. I thought the way that the refs handled the first half was terrible. And I try not to be critical of referees these days after interviewing Matt Chechen last year, and he talked about, the death threats that he received during that World Cup and sort of prompted him to walk away. I don't want to bag the refs, but there was something definitely going on. If we're fair dinkum, I reckon Queensland had every right to be a little bit upset with not receiving a penalty there late in the match, that could have given their goal kickers, Ethan Lowe or whoever, to a chance to kick a penalty. So, I'm glad we're not necessarily talking about referees, but because it was a great game regardless. But, I was a little bit worried with the way that it was officiated at times.
Yeah, plenty of storylines to come out of Origin. Obviously, Mitchell Pearce, New South Wales going back-to-back under Freddie. And then, of course, Blake Ferguson, the redemption story of Blake and setting up the winning try for James Tedesco. What was your sort of number one story to come out of that game, Webby?
It has to be Mitchell, having covered all of his career and all of his Origin career, and just knowing how much, Loz, you would have seen it in 2017, just seeing how much damage it does to him mentally and how much damage it did to him when he used to go back to the Roosters and try to get his season starting again. I have to say, when talk about Mitchell coming into the New South Wales side started a few weeks before Game 1, I noticed a change in him. I thought, he was a little bit edgy. I know everyone's talking about him being much calmer when he got into camp for Game 3, and I think that was the case. But, there's a lot on his shoulders. It was all down to him, really. It was all about him either way, and the way that he managed to stand up. I know some people, just shows you the hate for him. Some have been critical of his game. I thought he had a great game. I don't think he was brilliant, but, he tackled everything but the corner post and come up with a couple of great plays, including the one in the series. So, the question is, do they stick with him going forward?
The strange thing is, we've just gone back-to-back in the Origin series. We've just won an absolute thriller, and it's probably highly unlikely that 6 and 7 will be there for the next year's series.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. I don't know.
Isn't it? I mean, they might not be sided off nobbies.
Yeah, but we need to be careful, I suppose, because what happened in Game 1 this year, even though we weren't too far away, like Jimmy was the messiah, and Jimmy... Game 2, he was the hero. In Game 3, he didn't play that well. So it's going to be difficult for New South Wales going forward. But we expect Keary to be there if he overcomes his bouts of concussion moving forward. I think
100% was. But there are people on that New South Wales coaching staff who certainly think that Mitchell Pearce you know, deserves another shot at it already. You know, next year, you know, Mitchell or Nathan, with Mitchell playing on the ball, you know, or Mitchell and Keary. So, it's good to know that New South Wales have some options in the halves
block. Mate, options, but isn't it funny? We're talking about who the halves are going to be 2 days after Origin.
I was thinking exactly the same thing. Speaking of concussion, and look, Luke Keary back again and hopefully playing really good footy for the Roosters. But Michael Morgan, I'm sort of concerned about not only his short-term but his long-term future in the game, because concussion... Look, he looks suspect of concussion.
Yeah, that's the second one. It was pretty heavy on Wednesday night, wasn't it? You know, the game's safeguarded, you know, has brought in so many safeguards around concussion, you know, in the last couple of years. I know there was some concern that he even had to go and have an HIA to be ruled out and not to come back on the field, because there was a belief that he just should have been ruled out straight away because he was so badly concussed in that Origin match. So, I'd like to think that the Cowboys will take all the same sort of precautions that the Roosters did with Luke Keary. You know, the spotlight is so strong on this aspect of the game now. I just can't see them, you know, rushing him back and any time soon.
No. I'm no medical expert, Webby, but when you've been knocked out twice in two games, I think there should be a mandatory period there that you need to be stood down for at least up to a month.
Yeah.
At least a month. But that's only my thoughts. Yeah. What about, you're in Melbourne at the moment, Cameron Smith, remarkable player, coming up to 400 games this weekend. What an achievement!
It's a festival down here at the moment for Cameron Smith. I was very lucky to be at a dinner that was held for him last night in Fitzroy. There was Todd Greenberg, Peter Beattie, Craig Bellamy, his family. Billy Slater, Jonathan Thurston, and I had this beautiful Waterford crystal ball that he's going to be presented with on Saturday night after the match against the Sharks. I'm surprised that it didn't get bumped off somewhere last night. It was all set up for disaster, but it didn't smash. I didn't smash it. And you know, it's just an emotional time. It's the game hasn't always been good at celebrating these type of milestones, and you know, this is a pretty special one. I've got a story I'm working on for tomorrow in the Herald, and Matt Geyer used to room with Cameron early on in his days at Melbourne, and he said, "You blokes won't last here because the training under Craig Bellamy is so intense and so strong." And I've spoken to Cameron about it, and he seemed to think, you know, I don't know if I can do this. But all those early years of all the hard training that they did under Craig Bellamy, he says is the reason why, you know, he's still playing. Why Billy Slater played 300, why Cooper Cronk played 300, why Ryan Hoffman played 300, and the reason why Cameron Smith's now going to play 400. So, you know, the hard yards under Craig Bellamy in those early 2000s is the reason why all these players are playing on.
Yeah, it's a tremendous achievement. There's no doubt about that. We haven't really got our teeth into this morning. We probably should have, but we've got World Cup and we've got Origin to talk about. But David Gallop, mate, and plus he finishes now in December, so it's not immediate. Although I always think once you announce you're leaving a post, maybe you should just leave. I'm not too sure about the circumstances here, but suffice to say, there's an internal or external review or some sort of review happening in the FFA, and David Gallop has decided to call it quits. He'll finish up in December.
I think he'll go probably in the next month or so.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
The writing on the wall was there for David Gallop over the Stagic thing. You know, he didn't come out of that looking too good, and the word was straight off the back of that sort of issue that he would be gone after the Women's World Cup, and that's exactly what's happened. I don't think he was pushed. I spoke to him yesterday. He seemed to be pretty calm with it, you know. He started really well at the FFA with the Asian Cup and getting Ange Postecoglou on board, and then it sort of all went sour in the last year. So, you know, I think it's time for him to go, and I think he knew that as well. Don't be surprised if there's a push for him to go into the ARL Commission.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
Mm.
I don't mind that.
You heard it here first.
I think Dave's got a lot to offer any sport.
Yeah,
that he's involved
I think, and plus, you know, the experience with Lowy and, you know, the world and the dealing with FIFA. If he can deal with those blokes, I like that Webby. Yeah.
He's run, two of the four main sports in this country over a 20-year period. I know he's got his critics, but not many administrators can say that they've done.
I think he's got a wonderful back catalogue for that sort of a position. Good on you, Webby.
No worries, boys.